know how much money is coming in because WBAI doesn't get any corporate sponsorship. Our sponsorship is from you, our listeners, who support WBAI, who appreciate WBAI, who want to uplift WBAI and the voices that you can hear on this listener-sponsored station. Again, 212-209-2950. Please come forward right now. Let's do it for Samori. Let's do it for the other Samoris who are yet to be heard on WBAI. We thank you for your support. Please come forward now and give us a call, 212-209-2950. Thank you. Thank you so much.
WBAI New York at 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Coming up next is Ecologic. Please stay tuned.
A parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on following
see a windmill go, feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
Welcome! Glad you could join us for Ecologic. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. This is Ecologic for Wednesday, June 5th, 2024.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Our guests today are Jeff Conant from Friends of the Earth and Mark Latour from the Environment TV Forum. But first, in today's news, Alaskan youth victory against fossil fuels and a good court decision for island nations.
We like to start our show with good news. The International Tribunal for the Law of the Sea, ITLOS, is a United Nations maritime law court, and in its first ruling, advised that countries are obligated to safeguard marine environments by doing more than is required by the 2015 Paris Agreement, as reported by Kristen Hemingway-Janes in EcoWatch from a Reuters story. As we know, many small island nations are threatened by rising sea levels due to global heating. The opinion was requested by the Commission of Small Island States on Climate Change and International Law, COSIS, a group of 9 small island nations in the Caribbean and Pacific Ocean that are threatened by sea level rise. COSIS's legal representative, Professor Pam Akhavan, said, as the legal guardian of the Ocean Treaty, ITLOS has taken a critical first step in recognizing that what small island nations have been fighting for at the COP negotiations for decades is already a part of international law. The major polluters must prevent catastrophic harm to small island nations, and if they fail to do so, they must compensate for loss and damage.
More good news. In a win for people power, even better, the power of the younger generation whose future is most affected. 8 youths from Alaska, ages 11 to 22, are suing their state government to protect their health and future. This is also from an EcoWatch article by Kristen Hemingway-Janes, as reported in Reuters this week. The plaintiffs, who are represented by Our Children's Trust, claim that a state law that mandates development of the liquefied natural gas LNG project infringes on the protection of their health and livelihood from the release of dangerous greenhouse gases, and that a major new North Slope natural gas project is in violation of their constitutional rights. This isn't the first time youth have sued the government. They have learned to focus on an individual project rather than challenging broad state fossil fuel policies. In 2022, the Alaskan State Supreme Court said courts were not able to order sweeping policy changes. The plaintiffs now said their lawsuit complies with earlier rulings of the court. As reported in the UK Guardian, the LNG project would involve building a treatment plant for natural gas on Alaska's North Slope, a liquefaction plant on the pristine Kenai Peninsula, and an 800-mile pipeline bisecting the state. This almost $40 billion project would triple greenhouse gas emissions in the state for decades, carrying billions of cubic feet of gas daily from the North Slope through local communities. The youth plaintiffs argued that the Alaska LNG project would exacerbate climate change and asked the court to declare the state law mandating its development unconstitutional and stop it from proceeding. They also requested a declaration that the state constitution includes a right of to a sustainable, life-sustaining climate system. They said that they are already experiencing breathing issues caused by smoke from climate change fuel wildfires, as well as other harms, including diminished ability to subsistence fish and hunt. Alaska is the fastest warming state in the country.
Walking Jim Stoltz was a founder of Musicians United for a Sustainable Environment, MUSE. He died much too young, but left us with a lot of wonderful music. There's a website devoted to him and his music. Here is These Are the Ancient Forests.
Here among the giants, life has grown so rich. Each living thing has found its special place. And the lessons to be learned as the seasons slowly turn is written on the ages all in grace. These are the ancient forests, beyond no price or worth. Here now they rise in glory, the pride of a living earth. Earth's magic, it flows so strong, it can ignore the life at every turn. From the tiny spotted owl to the mighty Doug fir, the gentle bent of a wispy fern. These are the ancient forests, these are the only ones, rooted to all ages still standing in the sun. Stand up, speak out, sing out for the ancient force each day. I hear the dying call. Sing high, sing low, sing strong for the ancient force each day. They tumble and they fall.
little quiet, and guess I feel so humble at their feet. There's something in their presence, my God, it's almost holy, something overflowing and complete. These are the ancient forests, these are the oldest streams. Why can't we listen to the ages? Why can't we let them be? Stand up, speak out, sing out for the ancient force each day. I hear the dying call. Sing high, sing low, sing strong for the ancient force each day. They tumble and they fall. These are the ancient forests, and beyond no price or worth, speak out. Here now they rise in glory, sing out the pride of a living earth, the pride of a living earth, the pride of a living earth.
That was Walkin' Jim Stultz singing Trees of the Ancient Forest. His website is www.walkinjim.com. That's W-A-L-K-I-N, no G, J-I-M.com. The site has info about the Wild Wind Foundation and is small scholarship given annually to two teens to experience the outdoors in possibly life-changing ways. Walkinjim.com. Now we welcome our guests. Please introduce yourself. Jeff?
Yeah, good morning. I am Jeff Conant. I direct the International Forests Program with Friends of the Earth, a national and international environmental and human rights NGO, and it's great to be on BAI.
And Mark?
Yeah, I'm Mark Latour. I'm with the Environment TV Forum and with greenballot.org.
Okay. Our Ecologic Collective member, Tim Keating, who has been working with Senator Krueger's office on the Trees Act for 4 years, was unable to be on the show today. So he sent along a question about the component of the bill that is nearest to his heart. Jeff, can you describe the Trees Act and the tropical hardwood component of it?
Yeah, sure. And again, thanks for having me on BAI and on your show. What we're talking about here today is a bill that is sitting on Governor Hochul's desk, essentially called the Tropical Rainforest Economic and Environmental Sustainability Act, known as the TREES Act in its acronym. And this bill does a number of things. Essentially what it does is prevent New York state tax dollars from causing destruction of tropical rainforests and associated abuses of indigenous peoples and other human rights. And it does that in a number of ways. The piece that you just asked about, Donna, is that there's an existing state law in New York that prevents state agencies from purchasing tropical hardwoods for use in construction projects. But that law has loopholes in it big enough to drive a fleet of logging trucks through. So part of what this bill will do is close those loopholes and essentially ban New York State from using tropical hardwoods in any projects. And part of why that matters is that to this day, and I think your listeners may be surprised to hear this, railroad ties used by the MTA, marine pilings, and other, you know, industrial products made by and for the state of New York are using rainforest trees, virgin rainforest trees that come from the Congo Basin, from Brazil, and from other rainforests around the world, and that needs to stop. And the bill does a number of other things, but since you started there,
Now, the Trees Act was passed by both houses of the New York State Legislature last year. and the governor vetoed it. Do you know why she vetoed it, and is any changes being made as a result?
Yeah, well, there's and maybe before jumping in on that, I can say a few more things about the bill that I think listeners will want to know, which is that aside from banning state use of tropical hardwoods, the bulk of the bill actually requires any company that is selling goods and services to the state of New York that may be associated with driving tropical forest destruction. It requires those companies to do due diligence to know and show where their products are coming from and to certify that they are not driving tropical rainforest destruction or associated abuses of human rights. So we're talking about products and commodities like palm oil, soy, cattle, paper, and coffee, which are the leading drivers of tropical rainforest destruction in the world today. And of course, tropical forest destruction writ large, deforestation is the second leading cause of the climate emergency after, of course, the burning of fossil fuels. And so just to get that sort of basic, notion out there about what the Trees Act is. And it has now passed the state legislature twice, 2 years in a row. Last year, Governor Hochul vetoed it. She vetoed all but one of the environmental bills that landed on her desk last year. And so in that sense, it's no surprise. Her arguments for vetoing were, essentially she had concerns that it would prevent state agencies from being able to fulfill their contracts for food services and for other, you know, other necessary goods. She also cited that it could be bad for small businesses, which is actually extremely ironic because the bill has very specific, language to support small businesses. And she wanted the bill to, essentially the bill will go into effect, a few years after it is signed into law. And Governor Hochul, proposed an implementation date of 2029 for the bill, which is way down the road and way unnecessary. And the sponsors of the bill, Senator Krueger, specifically, simply wouldn't go for that, and said, we want a bill that addresses the urgency of the climate emergency now and a bill that is feasible and that has real teeth in it. And so essentially the reasons Governor Hochul vetoed it is because she would not meet Senator Krueger's standards for an effective bill. Senator Krueger has made some changes to the bill that meet all of those questions. It's got an earlier, it's got an implementation date now of 2027. So that's a bit of a compromise. And it's got some new language to ensure that state agencies won't experience any kinds of supply shortages. And it gives OGS, the Office of General Services, which is the agency that'll implement the bill, it gives the Office of General Services more control over the implementation guidance. So we believe, and Senator Krueger believes, that those issues really change the bill significantly enough that Governor Hochul will sign it.
Mark, do you think she will?
Oh, yeah, I do think she will. And just to elaborate on that,
that's good.
It'd be nice, yeah. Just from talking to Liz Krueger's office. But one is it gets rid of a lot of the loose language. For example, to the best of our knowledge, which is like a loophole that companies can slide through. And it also ensures that there has to be a better accountability. In other words, you can't have an outside organization saying that these woods and these other products are deforestation free. That needs to be handled by the state. So it closes that loophole quite a bit.
The EU, European Union, they have a Deforestation Act as well. What's the difference between what they're doing in Europe and what we're doing in New York?
With Europe, they're doing it for both imports into the EU from anywhere in the world and for exports out of the EU. So if there's some deforestation, even within the EU, that relates to some of these projects, then those are looked at carefully too. And but in terms of the imports,
now this is already passed, right?
Oh, yes, already passed. Okay. Yeah. And in terms of imports, they can keep a company from bringing products into the common market, and they cannot be sold in the European Union.
I might just elaborate on that a little bit. Thanks for that, Mark, to say that this bill might come as a little bit of a surprise to folks in New York, because it's not actually about, I mean, it is about activities happening in New York, but it's about protecting tropical rainforests. And part of where that comes from is there is a global movement to advance what we call demand side regulations to stem the flow of products that are causing tropical deforestation. The EU deforestation regulation is certainly the leading example of that, as Mark just described, but the UK, France, Norway, and several other countries are developing similar kinds of legislation. There's a bill very much like this one has been moving in California and also in the state of Illinois. So this is a trend moving in a lot of jurisdictions, and New York has the chance to really lead on this.
All right, you're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Donna Stein.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Ken Gale.
Now back to our guests, Mark Latour of the Environment TV Forum and GreenBallet.org, and Jeff Conant from Friends of the Earth.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that the show before us actually talked about the Congo and what some of the, they call it imperialist, I call it commercial interest in the Congo, are what they're doing to the people who live there. And one of the things that you guys have brought up is that we in the United States, we don't live in forests, right? We live in our cities and towns and farms. But in the global South, people live in the forest. So when some American company or international company comes in and starts deforesting the Congo or Brazil or Indonesia or all these different places that they're doing this, it's ruining people's lives. And, you know, the show before us talked about that a little bit, but let's talk more about specifically the deforestation of these places and what it's doing to the people who live there.
Yeah, this is a really critical point. When we talk about tropical forests, you know, we're not talking about protected areas necessarily, like, you know, the Adirondacks or forests like the Catskills, which we think of in the north as places for, well, certainly resource extraction, for better or worse, but also for recreation, you know, for all of the benefits that we enjoy our forests. But we're talking about millions and millions of indigenous peoples and other local communities who call these forests home. They call them, you know, their supermarkets, their pharmacies, their temples, if you will. And so this is where, when we talk about deforestation in the global South, we're not simply talking about, you know, we are talking about climate, we're talking about biodiversity, we're talking about water sequestration, we're talking about all of the ecological benefits, but we're really also talking about what we call the biocultural benefits of forests, which is that they are the homes and livelihoods to cultures that deserve to have homes and livelihoods, essentially. Sure. And across the tropics, from the Congo to Indonesia to Brazil, you know, to everywhere, indigenous peoples are being moved off of their land, are being, you know, harassed, abused, intimidated, murdered by multinational interests and the state powers that support them. And that's why deforestation is a serious human rights issue in the global South.
And that's true, even though they protect most of the biodiversity on the planet, although they're on much less of the land.
That's right.
Mark, how does this bill relate to other bills that are happening around the country?
Well, I was going to comment on the bill in Illinois, which has been introduced but not passed. And that actually covers deforestation in the boreal forests all across Canada and Alaska, Siberia. So if you look at Canada, you've got clear cutting across all the way from the Yukon to Labrador and Newfoundland. So 99% of the forestry up there is clear cutting, which is unbelievably awful. So that is good to bring in as well. And also the European Union bill, it's not just for purchases by the various countries in Europe. It's by all purchases, whether they're in the private sector or government contracts. So it's much more encompassing.
Yeah, this New York State trees bill is for government procurement. So it prevents the government from doing this. But we, general public, have to pay attention on our own. It doesn't protect what we do.
Right. But I mean, New York State is a very big economy, so it'll have quite a big impact. And but we also need to start looking at some of our personal behaviors in terms of what we're buying, how those products have been sourced.
I took a tour with Tim Keating many years ago. Ecologic was a new show back then. And he talked and he pointed out benches and he pointed out the pilings near South Ferry, pointed out all these things and what tropical hardwoods they're made out of and how many miles of forest would be destroyed to get one tree. Mm-hmm. Because we are talking about a very diverse part of Earth. So it's not just one tree growing, you know, and then the next is the same species is right next to it. There's a lot of things growing together. That's why there's so many different birds living there and so many different animals and insects.
And they ruin the whole ecosystem when they go for one tree.
Yeah, and they also affect the rainfall and things like that. But will this bill cut down on MTA using rainforest hardwoods for their rails or the pilings that I saw, the benches, is MTA separate from all these other guys? They can do what they want?
No, this bill, in fact, the bill's sponsors and some of the advocates, we have talked to the MTA and the Staten Island Ferry. And the MTA actually, in our conversation with them, they're aware that the railroad ties are still coming from virgin tropical forests, and they actually think that's absurd and doesn't need to be the case. So they're actually on board.
Kudos to MTA. We don't always get to give them kudos, so yay.
Right. Part of the point is, for most of the life of the MTA, those railroad ties were not made from tropical hardwoods. They were made from native hardwoods. Similarly, there's been an interesting and somewhat troublesome debate about potentially redecking the Brooklyn Bridge with tropical hardwoods, because, of course, tropical hardwoods are very, they're incredibly moisture resistant. But for most of the life of the Brooklyn Bridge, it's been decked with hardwoods grown in the state of New York. And there's no reason why that can't be the case as well. One of the things that has changed in the bill since the governor vetoed it last year is that there is a potential exemption for a few years, for 3 years, for the MTA and the Staten Island Ferry, so that once the bill comes into effect, they have essentially a ramp-up period to be able to ensure that they're not buying any tropical hardwoods, so they wouldn't suffer any, shortage of materials. But that's just a three-year exemption that allows them to get up to speed and change their systems.
If they already want to, I would hope that they could do it quickly.
Indeed.
Yeah, right. Now, if you're talking about switching to growing trees in New York State and traveling the state, I see an awful lot of abandoned farmland. So is the Trees Act also a jobs act?
Yeah, the Trees Act is business friendly in a number of ways. It, among other things, it gives a 10% bidding preference on contracts to New York State minority and women-owned businesses. But it also, exactly, if the state cannot be buying tropical hardwoods, that could shift some business to, the state's lumber industry, which, there's sawmills in almost every rural county in New York State. There's also soy and beef and, you know, being grown in New York. So this would give a preference to New York producers over tropical producers. So in that sense, it's not only, you know, economically friendly to businesses in New York, but that's also another ecological benefit, right? Is one of the things we need to be doing overall is buying local. And that's part of what this does. I imagine Mark has some comments.
I bet.
Yeah, I was going to say also in the state legislature, there's a bill, Senate Bill 4125. It's called the New York State Reforest, Restore, and Sustainable Agriculture Bill. And basically that has the state agencies looking at what are the places where our reforestation and restoration of habitats can occur throughout the state. So that goes, you know, hand in hand with that.
Give that bill number again.
Senate Bill 4125.
Yeah, when I was my Unitarian Universalist Church is rebuilding, and I asked him about, you know, sustainable flooring options and so forth, and he suggested local hardwood and reclaimed lumber. So, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, reclaimed lumber. Yeah.
By the way, is the hardwood in New York faster growing than the hardwoods, the tropical hardwoods? Is there how does that work?
I'm not sure if it would be it's going to depend on the species. I mean, the tropics, you know, trees grow quite quickly in the tropics. They also grow much older. So some of the big hardwood trees in, you know, in the rainforest we're talking about are 250 to up to 1,000 years old, where, you know, an oak or maple in New York State, the oldest trees that we probably have are, you know, 200-300 years old. But in the forestry industry, we're talking about much shorter rotations than that. And we're certainly not, you know, wanting to promote the felling of any of the last of the great, you know, old trees that New York has. Mark, please.
Yeah, I'll just comment that, definitely in the warmer tropical rainforest areas, the trees do grow much faster. Even in the United States, for example, Alabama, you know, Georgia, the Carolinas, where it's warmer and there's more rain, the trees will grow faster. So that's one of the reasons most of the deforestation is going on in the tropics.
I know black locust tree, which is sometimes a street tree, even in Manhattan, is also good for a lot of the wood that rainforest wood is being used for. And you must know of a lot of trees that are good substitutes for those rainforest trees.
Well, there's a lot of hardwoods that would be very valuable, but you know, the pines are used in house building. Those are you know, quite common all through the country.
And pines grow quickly.
Yeah.
And a quick look that we did at New York State's lumber industry shows about 75% of the wood that is milled in New York is hardwood. So again, there's a thriving, you know, hardwood lumber industry in New York State, which could fill the bill here. But again, another piece of the bill, the biggest drivers of tropical rainforest destruction is not actually timber. Timber, in some senses, it can be a byproduct, but we're talking about clearing, you know, hundreds of thousands of acres of forest every year for conversion to palm oil plantations, to soy plantations, and to cattle ranches. And that's where a lot of this bill is really about the products that are going into, you know, New York State government offices, cafeterias, and that kind of thing. So it's important to realize that we are talking about wood and timber, but we're also talking about a lot of the agricultural products that are coming from cleared land.
And these countries, basically have very, very poor enforcement mechanisms if they even have laws on the books. So if you look at Brazil, you've got the ranchers going in and cutting down the forest. You've got farmers cutting down the forest for their, you know, soybean farms. You've got individuals going out there and doing little mining claims to mine for gold and, you know, other metals and minerals. So the enforcement is just not there.
Don't they say that there's a football-sized patch of a forest that's cut down every single day in Brazil? Did you hear that?
Well, I would think it's even more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's every couple of minutes. I mean, that statistic changes all the time, but I think most recently it's 2 football patches or pitches, as they say in Europe. 2 football fields worth of forest are cut down every minute around the world.
Around the world, yeah. We've talked about domestic hardwood as an alternative to tropical forests, which are so important to put to the climate and weather patterns. But what about some of the other alternatives?
Well, definitely plastics are becoming more common. There's been a problem with lack of strength of the plastic compared to wood. But I think technologies are improving and that might change. Also, there's products like hempcrete, which is a mixture of hemp and concrete. And the hemp grows quickly and easily. And so that's one alternative that some people are using.
And when Mark says plastics, nobody's talking about replacing timber with new plastic, but with recycled plastic, right? And this is another great ecological solution where we dive into the waste stream and, upcycle a lot of the waste plastic into recycled plastic lumber, which is already widely used by the New York Parks Department. Since the Bloomberg administration, the Parks Department has been replacing park benches not with with wood park benches, but with recycled plastic lumber park benches. And then, you can't tell the difference. It doesn't degrade the way you might fear in terms of microplastics. And it's an upcycle solution.
Yeah. There is a company that is giving nonprofit groups, if you collect something like 1,000 pounds of plastic film, they'll give you a bench.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen Tim was talking really early issue of Ecologic, Tim Keating, about bridges made out of recycled plastic. And he said that these bridges will last like 3 times longer, but they cost twice as much. And he explained that, well, that's a benefit, right?
That's
if it lasts 3 times longer, twice as much is okay, right? If it cost 3 times more, then it wouldn't be.
Well,
but
he
said that in places that go Democrat, Republican, they keep changing, they don't want to do that because that twice as much goes on their budget and the saving of 3 times as much goes on some other party's budget.
Right. Oh,
and where if it's a place, a lot of rural environments are the same party every single election. So they are really into recycled plastic bridges in those places. So it's bizarre how the politics affect environmental issues in that way.
Interesting point. Tim was telling us that they're learning about plastic, like plastic for boardwalks. The plastic can get worn down and become slippery. So they're learning how to like mix it with sawdust. So that it doesn't become slippery. But I think Tim is working on Tim Keating, our Ecological Collective member that brought this show to our attention. He is working on a wood alternative, I believe. Right? Jeff, do you know more about that?
Yeah, he is working on a mycelium fiber. I believe it is. It's fascinating and look out for it. But that is, I mean, this is where by addressing the ecological, damage caused by business as usual, by the historic sort of overconsumption of wealthy nations and wealthy states like New York, we create opportunities for innovation, technological innovation to, come up with entirely new ways of solving old problems. And that's part of what Tim is doing by coming up with alternatives to lumber.
And there is one place that you guys can go to hear the voices of the people. Listener-supported radio, WBAI. There are many viewpoints. We bring you discussion and experts you won't hear anywhere else. This is your media. Sure, we ask for your donations. Isn't that better than when media companies take their dollars from influencers with corporate money? Yeah, we think so. So please be generous with your support. Whether you request a thank you gift or join us as an Ecologic BAI buddy, it all works to keep your radio station on the air. We appreciate all our listeners, and we appreciate when you show us that you want us to stay on the air. Just as change doesn't happen unless activists take the steps to make it happen, media doesn't just stay on the air without your action either. In this case, your financial support. Please call 212-209-2950 or go to give2wbai.org to make your donation, or you can send a check or money order. And to let us know you are a listener, we'd love you to go to our website and sign up for our email list. You'll be sure to hear of upcoming shows.
And somebody slow down the clock. We're coming to the end of the show. I want to hear more from Jeff Conant and Mark Latour. But we appreciate your belief in the power of grassroots media and this radio show. Your contribution allows us to go forward. We are particularly grateful to our Ecologic BAI buddies who help ensure that the station's bills get paid. Please donate now so you can be proud of having done your part to keep Ecologic and WBAI on the air.
You'll be glad to know that the FCC recently restored net neutrality, so it's again illegal for your service provider to slow down our signal. But we still need to ensure that our tower rent is paid so that our on-the-air broadcast is uninterrupted. Every dollar you contribute goes directly towards sustaining independent journalism, empowering grassroots initiatives, fostering a sense of belonging in our community, and bringing guests like Mark and Jeff. Together, we can make a difference through the power of community radio. Please support WBAI. The number to call is 212-209-2950 or go to give2wbai.org.
WBAI's rich wealth of programming allows you to enjoy public affairs shows such as Democracy Now!, Housing Notebook, On the Count, To Out FM, Living for the City, Off the Hook, as well as art shows such as Arts Express, Midnight Ravers, to From the Soundboard and Hour of the Wolf and Golden Age of Radio, to health and science shows such as Heart of Mind and Exploration with Dr. Michio Kaku, and over 100 more. You'll hear voices on WBAI that are left out of mainstream media. Please do your part to help us bring you incredible programming. The number to call is 212-209-2950 or go to give2wbai.org to make your donation. Or you can send us a check or money order.
We'll be back with Mark and Jeff in just a minute or so. And when you choose to become our Ecologic BAI buddy, you're giving us a reliable source of support that we can depend on, just as you can depend on WBAI. We're here for you all the time, and you'll be helping to ensure that we stay here. Just $10 or $15 a month, more if you can, enables people to listen wherever they are.
When you donate, please let us know if we can thank you on the air. We appreciate all our listeners, and we'll thank you publicly, if you'd like, as soon as we can.
You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Donna Stein.
I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Sally Gellert.
The State Senate passed the New York Heat Act, but as of now, we have to demand the Assembly also vote to save New Yorkers money and address climate change. The New York Heat Well Act will reduce utility bills by eliminating gas subsidies and capping energy bills at 6% for low and middle income families, saving them up to $75 per month. We go to weact.org and Food and Water Watch for more details. It will be on ecoradio.org.
Last week, we mentioned that the Sierra Club Board recently reconfirmed the group's opposition to nuclear energy. It's not too late to watch their free screening of SOS, the San Onofre Syndrome, Nuclear Power's Legacy, now through June 10th. There's a discussion on that Monday evening, June 10th. We link to the registration forms on our site, ecoradio.org. And now, back to our guests in the New York Trees Act conversation.
What would you like listeners to do? Jeff, let's start with you from Prince of the Earth.
Sure. And I see Mark raised a hand, but so to learn more about the Trees Act, I'd say go to nytreesact.com. There's a lot of information there, and it's New York Trees Act, nytreesact.com. And if you go to that site and then go to the Take Action link, you can sign a petition that will be sent to Governor Hochul. You could also call Governor Hochul at, I'm going to give you a phone number here, at 518-474-8390. That's the number for Governor Hochul's office, because again, the bill has passed.
Repeat that number.
Hey, I will. The bill has passed the legislature, both the Senate and the Assembly, and is now waiting for Governor Hochul to sign. So call her office at 518-474-8390 and urge her to sign the TREES Act.
Mark?
Yeah, it's a wonderful bill. I urge people to support it. And I want to talk specifically about homeowners. So if you're building a home or if you own a home, you can have a big impact here. So let's say you want to put a deck on your home. Well, try recycled plastic instead of exotic tropical woods. If you want to put a fence around the boundaries of your home, again, try the recycled plastic instead of exotic tropical woods. And if you have any ideas about, deforestation and, reforestation, things like that, we've got some great legislators here in New York State, from Liz Krueger to Rachel May up in Syracuse. So contact them and their staffs and try to work with them.
Yeah, Donna Sally and I can't advocate which side of the issue you are on when you call Governor Hochul's office. So if you want to, you want her to continue using tropical rainforest wood, or you want her to use domestic wood or recycled plastic, either way, give her a call, 518-474-8390, and tell her. And since she vetoes environmental bills routinely, if you want her to not veto environmental bills, you're going to have to call her. You can't just sit there. Even listening to Ecologic isn't enough. You have to actually call the people who represent you in the state, and that includes the governor, and your local politics, state senators, state assembly people. Tell them to tell Governor Hochul so that you're talking to her in two different directions. Again, that number is 518-474-8390. That's Governor Hochul's office. Ask her about the TREES Act. And anything else to do? I mean, because it's passed the Senate and the Assembly, does calling your Assembly and the Senate, does that do any good, or is that done?
Well, as you just said, Ken, I mean, what it can do is urge those senators and Assembly members to put pressure on the governor to support the bill that they've already passed. But maybe Mark has a comment on this.
Well, yeah, there's quite a bit of lobbying going on, I'm sure, up in the governor's office. We know that Sysco, the big food service company, is probably lobbying her to not pass the bill. But letters, phone calls, I think, would be incredibly valuable. We also understand that the governor does not talk to the legislators between now and the autumn about the bill, but hopefully we'll do so in a positive way, and we'll sign the bill soon.
Yeah, that food service supplier, they're already complying with the European Union's Deforestation Act. So what's their problem with New York TREES Act?
Yeah, they should be doing the same compliance everywhere that they work throughout the United States and in the other countries where they're working.
I know a lot of times corporations will follow California laws in this country because it's easier to have one system that works across the country than to do others. And hopefully with this bill, New York can lead that direction and have a larger impact. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, as we know, I think a lot of industry associations are simply allergic to regulations, right? They will oppose any regulation, environmental regulation, that comes down the pike. And I think that's what's happening with some of the industry opposition to this bill. But those companies know that they will have to comply. They already have to comply with the EU bill. So if they have to do that, then there's no reason why they can't comply with this. The writing is on the wall.
And this is just a government procurement bill, they can choose, if they want to keep doing bad things, just not sell to the New York government. They can have their niche somewhere else.
Right.
It's an interesting solution for them.
One that I hope customers don't exactly reward them for, but.
Well, they're going to have less customers if they're not selling to New York. So they've got to be paying attention.
Indeed. And really, one of the concerns is that with the EU deforestation regulation, you're going to have segmented markets. And we don't want New York buying, you know, the bad stuff. We want all the markets to be buying the good, sustainable products, right? We don't want to be a dumping ground.
And there's a federal bill that's just sort of beginning, right?
It's been in Congress for a while, called the Federal Forest Act. So keep an eye out for that. It's a tough year in Congress, as we know, but Forest Act. But it looks like we need to wrap it up.
Well, it's good. Good that you got that in, because it's time to wrap up. So, boy, this time goes fast. So thanks for joining us, and thanks to our guests, Jeff Conant of Friends of the Earth and Mark Latour of the Environment TV Forum. You can find more information at the FOE.org website, search for forests, and on YouTube.com, look for The Environment TV. Go to our webpage for more information. As always, if you'd like a follow-up or a news report on any of these topics or our previous shows or news items, email us using the clickable link near the top of the page, just under the promo meme, ecoradio.org. And please go to give to WBAI.org to become a BAI buddy in the name of Ecologic, or make a donation.
And if you go to our website, you can click on Jeff or Mark's name and you'll get to their websites. Join us next Wednesday, June 12th at 10 a.m., when we honor a great activist and raging granny who just left us, Corinne Willinger. We'd love to stay in touch with you, but those of you online, please sign up for our email list or like our Facebook page. We are WBAI Ecologic, no dashes.
We welcome you to get involved at WBAI. Check the meeting section of the WBAI.org homepage for dates and times. And of course, we always need your contributions to support everything that makes a broadcast happen. Pledging as an Ecologic BAI buddy now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
We're sure you'll see the value of Ecologic and WBAI and support us. Ecologic covers many issues. Take a look at our website to see just how many. Ecoradio.org.
Thanks in advance for your support. Call 212-209-2950. Or to donate online, go to give2wbai.org. And if you prefer, you can send a check or money order for your membership and or donation. Mail to WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
As always, we welcome you to go to our website to let us know what's important to you. We have often covered topics that you, our listeners, suggest. Thanks in advance for your support and suggestions. You can become a voting member of WBAI or make a donation at give2wbai.org or send us a check or money order if you prefer.
We are always glad to have you with us for Ecologic Live or on the archives. This show will be on the WBAI archives in just 5 or 10 minutes.
Our thanks to our engineer, Michael G. Haskins. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Sally Gellert.
I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us on Wednesday, June 12th at 10 a.m. We're usually here Wednesdays at 10 a.m. between the excellent programs Covert Action Bulletin and Living for the City. Check our website for details. Thank you so much, Jeff and Mark, for joining us. And thanks to all of you for being our listeners.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
Solar power, inexpensive energy.
Spirit of living things has never turned to Hi, this is Liz Wright. You're listening to WBAI in New York.
Barrett, this is a stick-up. Women and children jump off the train. The rest of you, on the floor. I said pronto!
But kind sir, this isn't just any train. It's the Arts Express. We're in the middle of a fascinating interview with the major film director. And following that will be a review of a new indie feature. And then there's a reading from one of the most stimulating poets in the U.S.
That does sound interesting. Well, in that case, let's all retire to the bar car and listen. Let's keep that big train a-rolling.
That's Arts Express Wednesdays at 9 p.m. with host Prairie Miller and co-host Jack Shalom.
When trumpets were mellow and every gal only had one fellow, no need to remember.
Hi, I'm David Kenny of Everything Old Is New Again. Every Sunday night at 10, please join me then, and please support WBAI at our brand new old number, which is 212-209-2950. Again, that's 212-209-2950. Hey, it's our old number, but it's new again. 'Cause everything old is new again. I like it.
WBAI accepts snowmobiles. If you have a snowmobile, we want it. We also want any extra cars, trucks, SUVs, RVs, boats, and more. Any reason is a good reason to give a vehicle to WBAI. Some do it to avoid the hassles of selling. Some like to skip the costs of repairing, while others just enjoy the good feelings of giving back to their community. But no matter your reason, donating a vehicle to WBAI is a great idea. And it's easy. Here's how it works. Simply call 866-WBAI-CAR. That's 866-922-4227. Or give online at WBAI.org/donate-your-car. Our vehicle donor support team will arrange your free pickup. When the driver arrives to tow away your great gift, you'll receive a donation receipt. Vehicle donations have the potential to drive hundreds and sometimes even thousands of dollars to WBAI. Call 866-WBAI-CAR or visit WBAI.org/donate-your-car.
We're in a unique moment here. It's a moment where we have a chance to actually demonstrate our power.
Imhotep Gary Bird heard on WBAI Friday evenings from 7 to 9 p.m.
I learned from Dr. Walter Fauntroy, who fought with Dr. King in the civil rights movement, that there were five areas that they identified that they felt politics could control and hit. It was health, housing, education, economics, and social justice. The fact is, WBAI is a nexus for the progressive community to make those changes in all of those areas, and has been decade after decade. I say to you again, whose station?
Our station.
Whose control?
Our control.
Long live WBAI.
This is listener-sponsored, locally controlled WBAI New York.